Welcome to Michigan Ice Guys, podcasting to help you fish hard water better. Hey guys, welcome to another wonderful episode in the snow of Michigan Ice Guys. Steph and Chaz here in the studio. We got our beers. We're really excited. We've been actually getting out fishing. This weather, Steph, what do you think about that?
Oh, it's fantastic right now. It cooled right off last night, and now we got kicking up the lake effect showers.
And the wind.
Low that wind single digits tonight. It's going to lock those lakes up really good. So
I was out on Monday, and you know, here we are in the new year. And I went over a couple of new holes, and then I went to one of the old reliables. And then I saw that front coming in. And that front, I mean, I'm sitting there facing southwest, had the wind in my back, and it just came in like a wall. And as it got close to the tree line on the south side of the lake, the fish went bye-bye, and they were done. And so Chef Dewey was out on the ice, and we were talking recipes while we were catching some perch.
Yeah, I saw you post some out there on the website.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We got some new recipes out there. If you guys have not checked out some of these things, we're posting. Steph's promising that he's going to document his world-famous beer batter.
Beer batter, yeah.
And featuring Schmoe's IPA.
Yes.
And
the Pilsner.
Oh, the Pilsner, yeah. We do the Pilsner, too. That makes a great effervescent one. Loves the secret of beer batter is bubbling up, but we'll get to that later. We're talking about the fishing we've been doing.
So Dewey and I making me hungry. And I'm going to go for sushi now. So
yeah, we're going to go for sushi. So Dewey and I, we're fishing, and all of a sudden it shut off, and I'm looking at that front, and I said, you know, if we stay here, we're going to get wet.
Yeah.
So we whipped on down the street and around the corner to the Nighthawk or Sandy's bar over there. And they had happy hour kicking in, so we made it just in time for some tall 22 ounces and enjoyed ourselves and talked a little post-ice fishing. And there were actually some old guys in the bar giving us some lowdown on Campaw Lake.
Oh, yeah, there's some nice fish out there.
So we've got to put that on our agenda to shoot out to Campaw. If any of you guys listening are a Campaw guy, pop a thing through the Ask a Michigan Ice Guy. Let us know where your favorite side of the lake is. Save us a little walking if possible. I've got a place we can park. It's not too far away. So I think we'll have to give that a try. But I got out there and I got some perch. They weren't real braggers. I mean, they were only 10 inches. But cleanable perch. They had a good belly on them, so they've been eating real well.
Yeah. They were biting.
And they were biting.
Until the front hit.
Oh, there were a couple of old guys out there, and they were just pegging away on 4-inch bluegill.
And it's not that they just quit hitting, it's just they just disappear from the fish finder, too. They're just like gone.
Oh, yeah, they're gone. I don't know where they go. You know, storm shelter or what?
They headed for cover.
It was craziness. But then I was on another lake earlier, and I couldn't get anything to hit. I could see them. They were hugging the bottom. And I know, it's small fish, but I couldn't resist.
Or like little perch or something down there coming up and checking things out. Were they kind of a fluttering on the graph where they
started
up and back down?
No, they were just a steady little ripple down there and stuff. So you knew they were gills. And I couldn't resist. I pulled out, reached in the inside pocket of the coat, pulled out a palm rod. And I used one of those Darius gold heads. And I put a purple piece of plastic on it, that little purple spider mite that we got.
Yeah.
And it's got legs and a tail, and I put it so it'd wiggle up like we like, and I just got it down there right to the bottom. I brought it up about 2 inches, and I started just that just slow pulse. Like Nick Schertz does in his videos, you know, that slow pulse.
Yeah.
Wham! Wham! I started having fun with inch and a half bluegills. It was the craziest thing. Now, before Christmas, we got out a few times.
Yeah.
And I was able to join you guys up north on one of our secret hunts. And it was one of those days when we didn't want to tell anybody where we were because not all of that lake was safe.
No. We had a house to go in on, so we were all right. Didn't have to walk across the sucker.
And, we walked in the yard. We walked across a yard. And we were sinking in the yard.
Well, the whole yard is soft, yeah.
And I was late to the game.
I was like, how well is the ice going to be if the yard ain't even froze?
That's what I'm thinking, but I'm seeing your big butt sitting out there.
I was like, Steph's out there. We're good.
And Miguel's jumping up and around and everything. And I'm like, okay, if Steph and Miguel are out there.
We're good.
Rocky and Chad, I don't think they measure ice. And I think Anthony's a holy man. He just walks on water. That guy will fish on stuff that's scary.
Yeah, Rocky and Chad tried one lake, and Rocky tried some dark-looking ice, and one leg went through about up to his thigh, and
ooh.
He was like, yep, yeah, I'm not going that way. So
yeah,
he didn't get both legs and just got the tussled it with one, but
still you know,
got
guys,
one, he got one soaker.
You know, guys, we were talking just before we started recording. Steph took a tour up to see his buddy Jeff up by Traverse City, and he was checking out and telling me about a couple of big bodies of water.
Yeah. Up on Skigmog Lake was locked up, and some guys were out there catching a few perch. But over on Elk and Torch, all open water, whitecaps. There were guys out there trolling on Elk Lake,
yeah.
Probably for lake trout or salmon or something.
Definitely, if they're launching boats, don't go ice fishing. That's not a good program.
Well, even on Skigmog, you don't want to venture too close to elk because they're really connected right there at the narrows.
Yeah. Yeah, and right now, I haven't even heard of anybody getting over here to Reeds and venturing. I heard there was some guys that were venturing the edge. I heard a guy got wet. And so, you know, most of us go in at one side of the cop shop or the other.
Yeah.
Nice to know the rescue squad's right there, but they don't like to come out and visit.
They don't need to be tested.
No.
And we don't need people to practice Darwinism. So,
yeah, we need to keep everybody safe. So still be cautious out there, but there is getting to be some better ice. I found that the smaller lakes I was checking out, if you're north of Grand Rapids on a smaller lake, you're probably okay. If you're south of Grand Rapids, it's iffy. I drove down to Emmons down there behind Bauer Well Drilling there in Caledonia.
Okay.
And it was big wet spots all over the lake. Mm-hmm. And there was still snow on the lake. And I'm like, oh, we're going to give Emmons a little bit of time. But there is some good, it's a good fishery.
Yeah. Well, when I was off for Christmas break, and I found good ice to get out on, but there were so many people you were hearing about. A couple people got died.
Yeah, this year we lost some guys already.
Yeah, about a half a dozen people fell through, and so more than that fell through, but a couple people got killed.
You guys got to, if you haven't listened to them, go back and listen to some of our earlier episodes this year. Check that ice, man. Take your spud. Be smart. Always take your partner. Yeah.
Take a partner. Don't go out there venturing on new lakes by yourself. It's just you're asking for trouble.
Dumb. Yeah. Dumb. I mean, you know, you can see I got my throw rope hanging right there. It's ready to go. I had the little one in my pocket the other day when I was out fishing with a buddy.
Yeah.
But, you know, like that day you and I and, what was there? Eight of us?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we were fishing as a group, and we were doing some bounce hopping and stuff. And it really helps when these fish are still moving.
Yeah, that was our fourth lake of the day.
Yeah.
And we passed on two others. We started on one that we had good ice. Next two were no. The last one was we got on. We were good.
Yeah.
Had good solid 4 inches, so
yeah, that was fine. That was good.
I mean, you're not standing around the hole; the water's not easing up. It
no,
you're nothing like that. It was great.
And you know, we've mentioned it before. The NAIFC, that's the national tournament here in the U.S. and in the world, they both have restrictions on how close you can be to another angler, and we recommend those similar kind of rules when you're out there because. You know, you walk too close to somebody else and that ice is a little thin, you're going to have two guys wet.
Yeah.
Even if you don't get wet, you're going to make another guy nervous, mad, whatever. You know, just be neighborly. Fishermen are great sports. Keep up that tradition and stay, you know, 15, 16 feet away. Two by-fours, okay, for you nail pounders.
Mm-hmm.
But doing that. Now, we did get into some good fish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good crappies and gills, and they were... The bite was nice in the morning, pretty aggressive, but then they kind of tapered right off, and you kind of had to coax them and work them into it because they got a little more pickier as the day went on.
Yeah, and I found the same thing on Monday. The other day that I snuck out, I went with my buddy Todd. You guys were way up north, and I live south of town, so Todd and I, we headed a little bit northwest of town and went over on a little pond up there. It's an old gravel pit, but it's been nobody's mined gravel out of it for 25, 30 years, so it's got a good fish habitat in it. And I know the guy that lives on it, and he's been chucking Christmas trees in it for a million years.
Nice.
So it's got just a great biological culture, and we got into some 14 and 15 inchers. I mean, I was pulling out some slabs, Steph, that you would have been going, oh, damn,
get the camera.
I don't know about on the wall.
I made a taxidermy bill.
Yeah, if it goes on my wall, man, it's a digital printout.
Yeah.
We're going to save our money for other things to get out there. But, guys, it has been an awesome, exciting start of the season.
Yeah, an early time to get on the ice. Got on ice before New Year's, so that was fantastic.
Yeah, we were on before Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what a Christmas present that is. Now, mm-hmm. Christmas Day kind of washed things away, unless you were way up by your house. You know, you get north of 82 or north of 46, you know, or like I like to say, the rifle line, you get a little forgiveness up there. But down around Grand Rapids, it's still iffy on some of the lakes, so be careful.
Yes.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about some upcoming seminars where we're going to be out and about and sharing our knowledge with you guys. So we're the MI Ice Guys. Check us out on Facebook. And please, please, please report those ice thicknesses on the map, because we'd love to come join you on the ice. We'll be right back. Guys, when you're out on the ice, do you protect your eyes? The MI Ice Guys have partnered with Costa Del Mar Sunglasses. Made in America, made by hand. The thinnest glass technology for sunglasses. 100% UV protection. We love our Costas so much, we took them to Finland, to the worlds. They allowed us to see where other people had been drilling before, protected our eyes in the blowing snow, and kept us looking good on the ice. Made in America, Costa Del Mar Sunglasses. Get them online, get them at a local retailer near you. Remember, tell them the MI Ice Guys sent you, and you need the best. Hey, when I'm heading out fishing, I want to grab me a couple of beers. I like to have pop top off one. And my choice is Schmoe's. Bone Crusher, Treasure Chest, Hop Knocker if you dare. Amber Teas, IPA, and Pale Ale. Grab the Brewer's Six. It'll do you well out on the ice, and you can even share with your pals. So stop by your local bottle shop and grab some Schmoe's. See you out there on the ice, guys. Drive safe. We're back. The MI Ice Guys. Taking a night off because, oh man, the weather is just kind of blowing. I think it's going to be a firm up night to where the temperature's dropping. We're getting a little bit of lake effect snow, but not too much.
Yeah, for those lakes that are locked right now.
Yeah.
This cold weather and wind will freeze them up that much better.
Yeah, we'll get another inch out of this, I bet.
If they're an open water lake, ain't going to help it.
Yeah.
It is windy out there today.
It's windy and that chop's going to go. But if it settles down, it's cooling water off really well.
Yeah.
And stuff. Well, as promised, we talked that we've got some more seminars coming up, and I've got some dates to share. Now, just this Saturday, the 7th of January, we're going to be out at Sadler's in Six Lakes. Now, if you don't know where Six Lakes is, put it in Google and do the smart thing. Otherwise, if we have to tell you, draw a line between the North Pole and Ionia, right up 66 there, and it's just north of Stanton. So,
66 and 46.
66 and 46. There's your navigational port.
Yep.
Two state highways right there. But Jamie out there and his wife run a really nice little bait shop, fish and tackle, all that kind of stuff. And he's got a welding shop too, which is kind of cool because he empties out all this work that's going on in the welding for us. And we have a seminar out in the shed.
Yeah, they set up a bunch of picnic tables for everybody.
Yeah, and usually they got a booster or somebody brings in some food. It's really cool.
Yeah, last year they had the bar brought in all the chilies
contest. Yeah. It was really cool. And we had a great time out there. So while we were deer hunting, we stopped by and said, Jamie, we in? He says, I was expecting you guys to show up. So we're going to be out there at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on January 7th, and it's going to go from 4 to 7. Kaney has sent me the jigs, the free jigs. So you buy three, you get one free. So you buy three from Jamie, you bring it out, and you show me the receipt, and I give you a free one, or Steph will give you a free one. I was just putting the pile of those together. We've actually even included some of the new Kaney
Skaney
tees and the Escanabas. There's plenty of Pelkies. There's even some Tapiolas in there, and I even put in a couple of the Karkaroff Diamond Heads are in there. So it's a real good selection. I've also got some free giveaways from Costa Del Mar.
So bring some good questions. And
We love questions. We'll have our little PowerPoint going. We're going to talk a little safety. We're going to talk a little bit of tactics. We're going to talk a little bit of planning and hunting on a lake, scouting, things like that.
Might even have those tight lining videos in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. On Facebook, if you have not followed our buddy Anthony, he just shot and edited a wonderful tight lining video talking about how to tight line.
I should now, share that on the Facebook page.
Yeah, course. We should share that.
Over I did it on my ours. Own page, but I didn't do it on the Ice Guys page.
So, well, that's because we're out of beer. We didn't think that
hard.
But anyway, we're going to show off some cool things, and we're going to also answer all of your questions. Steph and I are going to be there. Chad and Anthony, they're out on the tournament trail. They're at Devil's Lake this weekend.
Well, they're Metagoshi.
Metagoshi this weekend? Okay.
It's up in the Turtle Mountains, Botano. Yeah. North of Devil's Lake. But they'll probably north stop Devil's by Devil's Lake on their way there, I'm sure.
I saw everybody checking into Devil's Lake. I'm like, God, they're
fishing. I promised he was going to send me a picture of his first 10-inch gill. Because I sent him with my backup flasher and my snowmobile helmet because it was minus 16 for a high the one day. And I'm like, you might want the snowmobile helmet when you're traveling that mile from your hotel to the lake.
Did they both have helmets?
Well, I only had one snowmobile helmet.
So. What happened to that little shrinky thing I tried to wear a couple of years ago?
Yeah, but that one doesn't have a full face.
Oh, well, they should have called me. I've got three of them.
Mm-hmm, but.
Those crazy kids. But anyway, the guys are off on tournament, so it'll be just Steph and I out there. But we're the ones that like to talk anyway. And we will answer your questions down there. And if you can't make it, once again, we have our Ask Am I Ice Guy out on the website. We love to hear your questions out there. Young, old, doesn't matter who you are. Pitch right in and get on those things. Now, some other seminars that are coming up. I did firm up the date for the seminar at the West Michigan Walleye Club.
Okay.
That's going to be on the 28th of February.
Is that Ravana or where is that at?
No, it's out of West Walker Sportsman's Club.
Okay.
And that one is a, you never know what you're going to hear about at that one because it is the day after we get back
from Worlds
in Latvia. So you'll never, that one could be a little crazy on that. But
we might have a little jet lag.
We're probably not going to talk a lot of Michigan fishing there. We'll answer the questions, of course.
Yeah.
But a lot of that is going to be the recap of Latvia.
You'll get a good recap of the Latvia trip.
So a lot of those guys have a whole lot of questions about those kinds of things. We're going to have some fun doing that. And
hear about us taking home a medal.
Oh, yeah. I'm hoping we're going to hear about
this year.
Talking about a medal. I want that medal really bad, really bad. And then on the 25th of January, the West Michigan Fishing Seminars is having us out there in Fruitport on Airline Road out there. They got a nice facility out there, and they had us out last year. We had a wonderful time, so I think Steph's going to make it out there with me to that one. Last year, he was on the sentence of second shift, so he wasn't able to join us at that one. And we actually even go off to the bar after that one.
And do we have the Steelheaders this year?
Steelheaders have not gotten back to me on a hard date yet, but I got a feeling it's going to be...
that was at Diamond Hall.
Yeah, Diamond Hall. It's going to be real early in February, I believe. I think they're going to try and fit us in before we take off to Latvia. So there's a lot of opportunities out there for you guys to come out and hear what we got going. Some of these things, we've actually even got some equipment deals that we're going to be passing along when we're not at a store. That's kind of unfriendly for us to sell stuff there, not through them. But we've got some giveaways. We've got some prizes for good questions. Yeah. We've got the buy three, get one free. Seminars are a really cool thing to do, and you guys ought to come out and join us if you haven't seen one of our seminars yet.
And we hadn't heard from Jamie on what kind of sales he'll be offering in the store that day, have we?
He had a thing where he's going to give a percentage off. I don't have that right now on the screen, but he will be putting that up, and I'm typing away here to see if I can find that. If he's got it posted,
he did last year, and he had some good giveaways too. Remember, he did prizes underneath the seats. So there's
going
to be prizes up there from Jamie. So
yeah, Jamie out at Sadler's always shows a good time. So you guys ought to come on out and join us out there if you're in that area. He's also just wanted to mention that they're having an ice fishing tournament out there on February 18th. Now they invited us, but we got to be on a plane to Latvia, so we won't be able to make it in for that. But get the opportunity to go sign up out there. We'll have a great time. I think this is going to be an absolutely wonderful season. We want you to be safe. Come out and learn some of the new techniques. We're going to bring some equipment. We're going to try and fish our way over from Grand Rapids, Howard City, wherever we start from that morning, to Six Lakes and see if we can come fresh off the ice with some stories that day as well. But a lot of good information.
We will post our ice depths as we go.
Yes, yes. We are very good about posting our ice thicknesses out there. We wish that you guys would too. We really encourage people to, you know, share, because you don't want to drive all the way across the state or, you know, 20, 30 miles away without knowing how thick the ice is just to get there and find out it's open water. That's crappy, especially if you're bringing a kid with you. It just doesn't work out that great. So going to miiceguys.com. You can see right on there, we've got the links to Report Ice and the Ice Map, which is a Google integrated map. If you haven't seen it, it's worth checking out. We've got a few guys posting. I've seen guys clear up to Petoskey posting, and a lot of guys down south of May. Where are those guys at? Oh, they're down by Dark Horse, down by Marshall, posting some good. I see yellow dots down there. That means 3 to 6 inches. So there's some good ice around, man. You just got to know where it is, and hopefully this will help you plan out where to go to catch some.
Yep.
So, you know of any other seminars coming up, Steph?
Not that I can think of right now.
It's kind of getting to late to book anymore, but if you guys have one where you got a group you want to talk to us, hey,
contact
we're
us
happy
through the website.
And, you know, even after we get back from Latvia, there's going to be a huge, huge demand for us to come tell the stories of how we won those medals and all that stuff. I got my fingers crossed that we're going to win those medals. It's going to be great. One last thing I want to mention before we go off to break is that if you guys, I know one of you guys sitting out there thinks you're a badass and you can outfish everybody you know, and you're like, oh, those MIICE guys, just because they got a microphone and a website. Well, there is an opportunity to come out in March, the 16th through the 19th of March, to Rhinelander, Wisconsin. There are open tryouts for Team USA Ice.
Yep.
It costs you $50 to play. You got to get a room, drive over there and stuff. On usaiceteam.org, there's all the information out there. But if you think you got the stuff, man, come. And if you think you're close, it is a learning experience that will blow your mind. These guys are the pros, man. And when old Uncle Myron gets out there and whoops your ass, be ready to hand drill. No power.
Yep.
Leave your flasher at home. Not going to need it.
All the rules are out there. So
the rules are out there. If you don't have a palm rod, you better get a palm rod. Now, we do have a couple that we brought back from Ukraine last year that I am selling a few of those off at the seminars. If you guys, you know, stop by and see me for one. I got them fully rigged. We'll give you the full instruction on how to use them and everything. We're all about conveying the knowledge. Or you can get our buddy Jeff Kelm. He's the rep for Akara Ice Fishing, and Akara has a pre-rigged rod out there.
Yeah, they you can get a nice mail website. Order. You can order stuff through their website.
Yeah, I think it's just shy of $20 with shipping and stuff to get an Akara pre-rigged rod and stuff. The ones we have are the Russian Masters. I think they're a little better.
Yeah.
I know Jeff doesn't listen, so he won't bash me on this. But anyway, usaiceteam.org. That's where you go to get information about that. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk a little recipes. Steph and I have been doing a little work on those. So post your ice thickness. Check us out on Facebook. We'll be right back.
Hey, remember to stop on out to miiceguys.com and report the ice thickness where you're fishing. Help us all out in knowing where there's safe ice. Check out the map online at miiceguys.com.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer, bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hey, we're the MIICE guys, and we are back. It is time to talk about one of our absolute favorite subjects, and that's cooking.
After we get done catching.
Catching, then we got to cook them.
Then we got to cook little buggers.
Cleaning, I don't know how that will go on the podcast. We could describe it. Maybe we'll get Anthony to edit us a video on how to clean them.
Just as long as he's not cleaning steelhead, we're good.
Yeah. All right. So, new feature for those of you that are subscribed to either the Facebook or to MIICE guys website, recipes. I released 5 recipes last week. of some different things to do with fish.
Yep.
Now, if you're good at catching fish, which we hope all of you are, eventually you and the family are going to get sick of frying fish. One, it can make a little bit of odor in the house. And, you know, Steph and I, we live alone, so that's not a big deal. Nobody would make mad. Nope. But, you know, for some of you other guys, maybe it is an issue. And you get tired of just old fried fish, you know, fried fish. How many times can you eat fried fish? So we decided that adding recipes was a logical thing to do with our website. And so I added a couple of them. Now, one of the ones that's absolutely fabulous, and everybody instantly started sending me questions going, what do you mean? What? Was my slow cooker bluegill chowder. Now, what I did is I found a slow cooker potato soup. Mm-hmm. And I started with that recipe, and I changed up the herbs a little bit on it just to give it a little more vibrancy. And basically what you're doing is you're making this potato chowder, starting it all off, and almost when it's finished, you know, it's up to the real hot roll and boil.
You just add the fish in. That's gonna
add the fish in.
Yeah.
Kill the heat. Those fillets are delicate. And as our good friend Big Jim Brockman always says, don't overcook the fish. He says, blankety blank, don't overcook the fish. Mm-hmm. Every time he gives you advice, that's what it is. So really, the trick is when you're putting it into something like that, don't overcook it. Just add it right at the end. Those little delicate fillets. I mean, you guys all know you've filleted them out. And we're doing skinless fillets. Okay. If you don't know how to skin one after you've filleted it and you're still a scaling guy, get on YouTube. There's a million videos. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll get Anthony to videotape Steph or I doing one because, okay, he doesn't fillet and skin that great. And he'll bash me for that. But that's a big one. Now, another one that I do a lot, and Steph's had it a couple of times, one of the brewers here at Schmo's, Gabby, she's a huge fan of it, is the crappie pasta. Now, it's a fun name to say, but what it basically I'm doing is I'm making up some bow tie pasta, just prepping that up, you know, boil it up, get it ready. Mm-hmm. Get it to what the Italian call al dente. That means still firm, not mushy.
Yeah.
And it's still got texture to it and stuff. And then, okay, drain it. Okay. And with that hot pasta, it's still got some water on it. Don't rinse it or anything and rinse off the good stuff on it. What I do is I will add that into some crappie that I have marinated in Italian dressing. And then I pull them out with a pair of tongs and I put them into a no-stick skillet. That good tongue, Chaz. It's better eating with than talking some days. But I just soft saute those up, not real high heat, real soft. And just as the edges of the fillet start to turn white, and it's time to turn them over. Mm-hmm. As I'm turning them over, they're going to break up a little bit and everything. What I do just before that is I put in some pasta, a couple of big tongfuls in to that no stick. Now, what you're going to find out is that water that comes off the pasta, a little bit of moisture off the pasta, is going to homogenize with the Italian dressing that you've been cooking with, and it's going to make it into a creamy sauce. Hmm. And then I'm going to turn the whole thing over.
And I've done mine with just butter and saute them with a little salt and pepper and butter, and then I'll put the Parmesan cheese on them, fresh grated. Oh, man.
Now, what I do is I save, and I'm at plating, I put the Parmesan cheese on, and then just a couple of little shakes of red pepper flake.
Oh, yeah.
Got to have a little color, man.
A little heat, yeah.
Stuff like that. Now,
if you find your pasta sticking together and you don't like that, you can drizzle it with a little bit of EVOO or olive oil there, and you're good to go.
So, yep. Now, another one that right along the lines of when you do them with the butter there is that I do just do a little pan fish with herbs. And it's the same thing, but instead of just the salt and pepper, I'm going to put in like one of those little mixed herb deals, you know, the Mrs. Dash or whoever. You know, there's a whole bunch of those herb blends that you can get in the spice aisle. If you're real good, you know, you've got your little spice garden growing and all that kind of stuff. You're a fisherman, I know.
The fresh herbs growing on the counter.
I get over that. But that is one of the other ones I do. And I also, out there, I put out my simple dry dredge just for frying fish. You know, I'm not a big fan of always having to have a big goopy batter.
No, I like the dry batter. Now, with a flour and cornmeal mixture.
When we get into the beer batter, that's a different game. We want beer batter. But a lot of times you want a lighter fillet.
And even with beer batter, if you make a thick beer batter, you're going to have quite a bready fillet.
You got a hush puppy with a little fillet inside.
Now you thin that down, and that's more what I like. So yeah.
Now the simple dry fryer dredge, it's real simple, and it just, you put fillets in a Ziploc bag and shake them up.
Yeah.
And now there's the one last, it's the coup d'etat that I use to impress chicks. Okay, I know you guys have seen my picture. You got to do a lot to impress chicks. I understand. But panfish tacos. I scuba dive, and I go down to the Caribbean. You know, Caribbean-style fish tacos. Now, Anthony, being half Mexican or whatever he is. And
he doesn't like onions.
Doesn't like onions, which is
something wrong with that,
weird
boy.
He says only Mexican do it. You know, he'll argue with me all day long about it. But what I like to do is just get a griddle. And I do this a lot out on the grill, is that I'll get some hot oil going with some garlic in it and make a garlic, hot garlic oil. And just get a little bit of that out and put it on the griddle and then lay down some fillets. Just a few at a time, usually like one or two tacos worth. And I love doing this in the summer, but you can do it in the winter just as easy. We don't even use plates, man. People just walk up, you give them a hot tortilla that you've warmed up, whether you're using the corn or you're using the flour. It's personal choice. Warm it up on the griddle. I've got this big, long griddle. Well, you saw that griddle I got stuffed. It fills my entire grill. I have an 8-burner Weber. So it's a big thing. I got a lot of hot work surface to work on. But what I do is there's no breading. There's none of that stuff. It's just some onions and some fillets down on that hot garlic oil. Quick, nice big spatula. Move them around. It's going to break them up a little bit. Shovel that into a tortilla and then have some toppings ready, whether it's a coleslaw or a chutney or whatever. There's a lot of imagination available on that. Mm-hmm. You can do a whole lot more, guys, than just frying fish. And we're going to be putting out there and stuff. Chef Dewey's getting ready. He's got one that he's doing a pickling. Yeah. He wants to do pickled bluegill.
I want
to
try a crappie quesadilla.
Crappie quesadillas. Oh, yeah. Okay, I can dig on that. Yeah, that Mexican's going to come back and give us a hell. He's going to be like, what are you guys doing talking Mexican food without me? Mm-hmm. Well, you're gone, man. But there's a lot of things that you can do with these fillets. And if you're a good fisherman, man, you're going to get a lot of fish.
Yeah.
Now, I do give away a lot of fish to especially a lot of my older friends, a lot of the guys that don't get out. You know, our good buddy Dave Roush, he's up mid-80s, man. I don't need Dave Roush out on the ice every day with me and stuff. But, you know, his health is not bad, but he's 80-something years old. And, you know, you got to take mom fish. And I will give you guys an excellent suggestion. If you find that little old lady that has lakefront property that lets you park in her driveway to go out fishing on the secret lake where otherwise you would have to walk 4 miles across ice or some crazy stuff like that.
A couple little bags of fillets go a long way.
And if she lives alone, which a lot of little old ladies do, get those little half sandwich bags, the little ones, and just make like a small portion of fillets for them. Freeze them up, and you just put a little lunch sack with a few of those in there and a thank you note. Even if she's not home, put that between the screen door and the big door, and you'll never lose your parking spot. It's one of the kindest things a fisherman can do. And those little old ladies, they remember when their husband or somebody else caught fish for them, and they live on a lake. You know they got to like fish. So be very neighborly when you go out there and be conscientious about where you park and don't leave no trash out there. You know, all the good sportsman things, but leaving some fillets, that's some bonus right there. Steph, you got any more?
I was thinking bluegill tamales.
Bluegill tamales. Man, he's on the Mexican kick.
Well, my cousin Mitch came up fishing with me, and his wife is Hispanic.
Oh, good.
Laura.
Yeah.
And she likes to cook. So I'm like, send him home with about 130 fillets. So he's going to make her happy because she likes fresh bluegills and crappies. So
well,
I'm
going to
see if she'll make something unique for us like that. That'd be kind
of
cool.
To get off the kick of Hispanic, Dewey and I, when we were sitting there catching those perch the other day, we're thinking bluegill lasagna.
Oh, yeah.
And using a little bit sweeter cheese. Man, I think we can get this. You know, we might have to cook the noodles a little further because we don't want to overcook the fish.
Yeah, you do the little pre-cook thing.
Oh, yeah.
On the noodles and then layer them in there. Oh, yeah.
And he says he's firing up the smoker next week for a special order. So we might take some fillets over and get them smoked.
I wonder if he did the smoked fish fillets in the lasagna.
That might be a little too much going on.
Yeah, maybe.
I had some smoked fish that I had smoked up this fall. Yeah, it was off of some of the ones that I caught up in the UP. Mm-hmm. And I made a little cream cheese and basil and cracked black pepper spread with that. Just put it in the old Cuisinart, you know, and give it a whirligig. And if it's a little loose, pour a little milk in. Loosens it up a little bit so you won't break your cracker.
Mm-hmm.
Man, is that good stuff. So, guys, there's a lot of things you can do with those. Look at that. We've used the whole segment. And now we're hungry. Oh, my God. I hope you're not that hungry. Well, if you are, go catch some fish. Cook some fish. If you have a recipe you want to share, feel free to use that Ask Am I Ice Guy or pop it out on Facebook.
Yeah.
If we like it, or, you know, you beg us hard enough, or tell us where your secret fishing hole is, or something else advantageous,
share it on our site.
We'll share it on your site if you give us permission.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to come back and wrap this thing up. As my friend Joppy says, we're going to bring this train to the station. So we'll be right back. Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA. Hey guys, Chaz here from the MI Ice Guys. I want to talk to you about K&E Stopper Lures, especially the Scandia line of tungsten jigs. I've been having a great time fishing with these this year and last year. The new colors are awesome. Check them out. Get out there to your local sporting goods shop and look for that blue packaging with yellow text on it. Pick up a Scandia lure or 10. It's a whole lot of fun to fish with. They're bright, they're durable, and good stuff. Hey, we're the MI Ice Guys. And we're
back.
We're back. All right, we've been drinking a little beer and stuff, and we were talking during the intermission. What are we going to cover on this one? And one of the big things with this year, you know, we've been warm, we've been cold, we've been warm, we've been cold. We thought it was going to be late, and then it came early, and it's been confusing ice. We talked about Rocky putting a leg through.
Yep. It's not only confusing ice, it's even one single body of water lake can be a confused ice mess because a lot of the lakes, they never froze up equally.
Yeah, the wind.
Same body of water, you know, different wind. I mean, when we were out at the one lake there, Rocky's like, hey, you don't want to walk over there because that was the last spot to freeze, and it stayed open for a week longer than any other spot.
Springs are going to be really big deal this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what are some of the things that we look for on that? You know, you mentioned dark ice.
Yeah, you'll see a color line or a change in the ice where you'll see, you know, where it's kind of a white, snow-covered, good solid ice, and then you'll see this line where it changes for some reason. Well, better drill a hole right there or as you're getting closer to it and check that depth as you're going along.
Yeah, I don't always assume that it's going to be bad ice.
And some ice could have, the snow could have drifted in a spot on the lake and made a slushy or a wet spot, so you're going to have poor ice conditions there. Or you could get where later in the year, you're going to get double layer ice where you got one layer, then your auger breaks through, and you got like 2 inches of water, then you're back on the ice again. So, or if you're walking across it, it might give you a little
jump start there.
A little pucker factor.
Pucker factor when you drop that inch and a half there.
Like,
Now, I was out on lake out by Alto McEwen out there, and it had pressure cracks, which are usually a really great sign. That means that the ice is expanding, it's pushing, and it popped. Okay.
Yeah.
But right at the pressure crack, there was milk ice on one side. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Okay. What does that mean? That means that the pressure crack happened, then it got warm and water leaked up on top. Because as you know, it warmed up, it started to contract, and it let a little water up through that crack, and then that water froze on top. So that meant that there was like a kind of a scalloping of multiple layers of ice.
Yeah.
Now, it wasn't the pucker factor stuff where there's a snow gap or a water gap in between, but still it caused concern. So I stopped, drilled a hole. Take a moment and look at the edge of that ice. Now, great hard ice, the crystalline structure. You know, I'm an engineer, scientist. You know, I look at these things, the crystalline structure, if you see clear with some bubbles that are spaced out where you can see definite gaps, maybe half inch, quarter inch between the bubbles that are frozen in the ice, that's some pretty good hard ice. Now, our friends in north of Moscow, Ivan was posting some pictures on Facebook of some of the ice, and he was on one of those clear lakes.
Nice.
That lake froze so fast, and it was so still that it didn't trap bubbles.
Just clear ice.
Clear ice. I mean, beautiful. You stand there and you look, I'm looking at it going, ooh, that's too thin.
It's like walking across glass. I've had that a couple times.
He drilled a hole. That stuff was 8 inches thick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is north of Moscow. Okay, they're a whole different world than we are here in Michigan. But, you know, there's places in the UP that get that, and it's wonderful. But, you know, around here, if you see a change in the color, if you see a change in the texture, if you see a lot of trapped air in it and stuff, take the time to drill a hole.
Check it.
Mm-hmm. If you don't have a, you know, a power drill rig like we do, where it's very quick to drill a hole, you know, carry the spud. Yeah. You know, I'm on to favor carrying the spud until we're talking 6-8 inches of ice, because you never know. Some of the obvious things that I'm just going to mention is reeds sticking through the ice. I was on a lake on Monday, and all along the shoreline, I picked, you know, the guy that was going with me. He said, why are you walking way down there to go through? Because this is a gap where there are no reeds sticking through the ice.
Mm-hmm. It'd be stronger.
How many guys do we know that have been up to their elbows,
mm-hmm.
you know, pulling their picks out to get out there? You know, it's dangerous. You get cold, it's messy.
Yeah, certain cattails is another one don't want to go by.
Oh, cattails. Cattails. Who were those morons?
That was a DNR.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Up on Hamlin.
On Hamlin. Drove through the cattails. Frozen cattails.
And I was like, the DNR should know better. They buried that Ranger.
They must have been deployed from Detroit. Geez,
yeah.
No offense, guys in Detroit, but your DNR recruits. Yeah. They were not from Gwynn. But anyway, be very careful out there. And if you see something different, do that. Now, we were talking about Anthony earlier. Anthony was out on very early ice because his wife does not home to watch him and make him behave. And he said that he watched guys fall through because they took a shortcut to get to where he was on safe ice.
Mm-hmm.
And he had plotted his course out on the ice very safely by checking the ice as he went. These guys just saw where he was and thought they'd take a shortcut.
Cut across, yeah.
Wet.
Sploosh.
Wet. Not good. Not good.
Another thing, I was out in the rain fishing the other day, and it was raining. It's rain-snow mix. But like probably every fifth hole I drilled, the ice would just pop.
Yeah.
Because it was nice and it was getting warm out. So I'd drill a hole with my, you know, little 4.5-inch auger, and then the ice was right across the lake. I was like, man, this is like...
That's going to tell me that the water underneath that ice is very, very cold. It is very close to freezing. The ice is still very, very cold. And what's on top and the rain and stuff is warmer.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a big temperature differential.
I mean, causing that tension. And the ice change just fluctuates. It's like ice cube in your water.
I mean, you guys got a fridge.
And it pops. The
fridge.
You
get,
in your glass.
Get some ice and then you pour some water in it. With the, you know, flip the switch and pour some butter.
Yeah.
Water in there and it they all pop and crack.
Remember the girl out at Finland that went like a couple years back?
the reporter from Kazakhstan?
Uh-huh. She squealed something.
She grabbed onto me. I thought I had a date.
She all jumped in your lap, dude.
She did jump in my lap. It was crazy. She was thinking that my big Mickeys were sexy.
We're just making ice.
Yeah.
That was a good crack out there, but.
Well, we had another adventure when we were recording with the Travel Channel. We were out shooting a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that were on camera personalities, two were from Louisiana, one was from Florida, the host. And I had just gone through the whole explanation about noisy ice is safe ice because it's expanding, it's cracking, it's popping, things like that. Steph's over. He's doing some behind-the-scenes cleanup stuff. And the whole camera crew was from Colorado and Wyoming. They were knowledgeable about ice. Well, these Southerners.
Louisiana.
Oh, my God. Well, even the Florida boy.
Yeah, in Florida, yeah.
All of a sudden, I hear the ice moan. No, you guys that have lived in Michigan all your life, you know when you hear ice moan.
Here it comes.
We got 15, 16 seconds, and we're going to hear the big pop and crack as the ice expands. And that day we were out there, what was it, a high of 4?
Yeah, it was cold.
Yeah. It and so...
Making ice.
It popped, and these two guys go boogieing for shore like they thought they were going to walk on water if they ran fast enough. It was Wile E. Coyote. It just got crazy. Shit. Now, a little bit of advice for you guys. Carry a dry bucket. Yes. If you don't have it in your sled, keep it in the truck. Now, we've got big jet sleds, so we keep them in the sled. The bucket that's sitting next to Steph right now has got my Steger mittens in it. You know, a dry pair of gloves. And when I talk about a dry bucket, it's one with a screw top lid. If you got a friend that's got a big swimming pool and they buy their chemicals at Costco or Sam's Club or somewhere else in a big, you know, the 6.5-7 gallon bucket that's got a screw top lid meant to open and close. They are the perfect dry buckets because it doesn't matter how hard it rains or whatever.
Yeah, snow doesn't get in there and everything
else. Nothing gets in there.
It's wet. Yep.
Spare batteries, gloves, all that kind of stuff. Then in your truck, some spare clothes. Now, we talk about this in our seminars that we keep our Zubaz pants in there. Those are like these little sweatpants with all fashionable patterns on them that we get as part of USA Ice Team. But a pair of sweats, a hoodie, and some slippers or something. You don't even need dry underwear, man. Just something dry to get all your wet stuff off if you do have the misfortune falling bad enough to get wet. I mean, you remember that one day out on Trufant that I didn't go through, but I skied in a puddle of water and I was drenched.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I was on reeds.
Was it?
Yeah.
I thought we were doing that day we had
Dale. Didn't have your Cthulhas on.
Yeah, I didn't have my damn spikes.
Well, that might happen at Reed's Lake too. That might have been two different times.
But yeah.
You tried to surf.
I tried to surf and I got wet doing it. Now, that's fine if I'm in Hawaii, but Michigan in February, not so much.
I was body surfing, so...
But
just to clarify,
yeah, you wish you had a video.
Yes.
But anyway, keeping some dry clothes in the truck, because when you're naked on a boat ramp, changing clothes, jeans do not slip over wet, clammy legs. But a pair of big baggy sweats and a hoodie and stuff will get you fine back into the truck so that you can get the truck started and get home. And because we don't want to lose anybody hypothermia either. You know, that'll put a hurt on your season. You get a cold. Nasty like that. Well, guys, it's coming to the end of the time where we're going to need to go get some more beer and then go get something to eat. Want to thank you for hanging with us. Hope to see you at the seminars. Steph is dying for you to put some ice thicknesses on the map. We love to see those blue pins show up because that means we can take the quads out.
Quads.
We have yellow quads. So if you see guys in red, white, and blue suits and yellow quads.
Track us down.
Come on over. Holler out. Say hi to us. We'd love to meet people on the ice and talk about ice fishing. We're the MI Ice Guys. Check us out on Facebook and MIIceGuys.com. Talk to you real soon. Be safe out there.
MI Ice Guys would like to thank you for joining us once again for one of our podcasts. Be sure to subscribe on MIIceGuys.com so that you don't miss any of our tips and hear a little bit about our fishing stories. Be safe out there, guys. Enjoy the fishing. It may thaw soon.